Now, for those of you who were here last week, we started the first phase of our vacation and telling you guys everything that happened, and we got through the, for those of you who weren't here, I'm sorry, you could go online to hear it if you want, but we got to the plane, to the airport, they messed our tickets up, we got up to getting the tickets figured out, to the part where we got arrested, and to the part where we got on the plane, flew down to Atlanta, and then, what's that? Well, we might not have got arrested, but I might have got some people's attention who weren't here last week. May 3rd, we started off on vacation. And just to brief those, we our planes were delayed. They didn't check us in. They lost our tickets, and we finally got down to Miami, and we made the boat by like a half hour. But anyway, we're going to leave off of where we landed in Miami Airport, and then we got on the bus. And so we're sitting on the bus, and we've been traveling for like how many hours? 28 hours. I was going to say that, but I didn't sound like that was actually true. But no, we'd been traveling for 28 hours, and we got on this old bus that had been retired from actually driving across country and was only good enough for driving through the city to the bus terminal. And we get on there, and we're beat and tired, and I've got hair on my face out to here, and just I feel like I've got grease all over my body because of just, oh, all the stress and everything that's been going on. And we get out to the bus, and you know they have these, the bus takes us to the cruise terminal, and you know the cruise terminals, if you've ever been on a cruise terminal, it's this big warehouse, and they've got all these ropes going back and forth, so there's an orderly line, and these ropes will hold thousands of people. And we got in there, and there was nobody in there at all. It was just us and those who came on the bus, and so we've got all these cruise representatives, and you could kind of shop around, see, okay, do I want to deal with you, or do I want to deal with you? You look nice. We'll get our cruise information from you. And so we went up, and we got our cruise cards, and the we didn't have all of our luggage with us. We just had our two carry-ons because it's a cruise. They're going to take all your baggage on for you, and they're going to deliver it to your door. And so we got our things and gave them our passports, and we went, and we got on the boat, and we decided, you know what, we need to check out our room. We paid a little bit extra money to get a window this time because the last time we were on a cruise, we were in the middle of the boat, and you didn't know what time it was ever. I mean, you thought it could have been midnight, and it was noon, and just bright and sunny, but it was just that dark on the ship. So we decided, you know, we haven't been on vacation in 6 years. Let's get one with a window. Let's enjoy this a little bit. So we go to check out our room, and we're walking down the hall and looking at the numbers, and we get down to the end of the hall, and I'm like, Chandra, I don't see our room. And we start looking and think, well, it's probably around the corner. Turns out that they've got rooms on the back of the boat, too, facing out the rear of the boat, the aft. And so we walk around the back, and right in the middle of the hallway, there's like a supply closet that splits the rooms, and we open the door, and we had the supply closet to stay in. That's a joke, too. That's not true. But there was a supply closet in the middle, and then there was our room and in another room, and that split the middle of the boat. And so we're like, okay, let's check out this room. We need to freshen up. We've got one change of clothes in the carry-on, but we don't have any shower stuff or anything like that. We've got dinner coming up at 6. The boat, I mean, is going to deport here pretty soon because, of course, we're hours past when we should have been here. And so we go into our room, and we sit down like, hey, this room looks really nice. We lay down on the bed, and we look up, and there's this picture, and there's Kleenexes stuffed behind one of the corners. I'm like, well, that's kind of gross. Somebody blew their nose and stuck those Kleenexes behind the picture. So we got rid of those, and checking out the room and everything, and it came time to deport before we actually got our luggage. And so we're saying, well, we'll just hang out in our room. Dinner's coming up. We went up, and the only time we left our room was to do our muster drill, which is when you go up on deck and they show you how to put on the life jackets. And you know they've got on the airplane the stewardesses that show you how to fasten your seatbelt. Well, they've got all these people who work on the cruise, and they pull out their life jackets, and the guy standing in front of us just couldn't do it. Pulls out his life jacket. He can't get it on. He can't get it unhooked. He can't get it around him, and he can't hardly get it hooked. And so we're feeling really confident about our life jackets at this point. And then he can't get the dumb thing back off. So that starts off it was kind of humorous to us to watch the people that are supposed to be directing us when the boat is going down. Put your life jackets on. No, I don't know. Somebody show me how to do it. Anyway, and we go back down to our room, and we know that it's about time to deport, and we're watching out our window, seeing all what's going on. And here come these guys with forklifts because he's got these huge, huge braided nylon ropes that come all the way from the boat over to the pier. And that's what holds the boat there. And we hear this turns out that we're the last floor of rooms below us is this open deck where they have all of these electric engines that run these big, huge wheels that roll in the ropes and the anchor. And then underneath that are the propellers. And so we hear this, ka-chunk, chunk, and we see the ropes go down. Hey, that's kind of cool. It's kind of cool after 28 hours of travel and you're just happy to be there. And they flip the ropes off and then we hear them reverse the motors. Ka-chunk, chunk. I mean, it's loud. I mean, it's right underneath us. And there's like four or five of these things because they've got four or five ropes coming out the end. And they're all going and we're like, what? Yeah, we're here. It's, okay. And so at this point we start having the whole, well, it's been a stressful trip, but let's forget that because now we're here and we want to have fun. That whole talk after you've traveled to your destination, which we have every time we go on vacation. And after that, you know, they pull the ropes up and then they fire up the propellers and we start pulling away from the pier. Well, when they fire up the propellers, they don't tell you that when you're in the aft part of the boat, the boat shakes like crazy, and they gear this thing down, and you hear, and that picture starts vibrating against the wall, and I'm like, oh, those Kleenexes were there for the picture. Oh, what a great room we've got. And, I mean, we're talking humongous vibrations. I mean, we're laying on the bed, and I told Chandra, I said, hey, this is like a vibrating bed. We don't even have to put in quarters. I mean, it was shaking that much, and once we got out away from the dock and they geared the thing up, the vibration came down a little bit, and it was still like a vibrating bed, but it wasn't so rough that the picture was... I mean, it was like just flapping against the wall, and it was pretty annoying. And so we're dealing with the room situation. We didn't get the best room. We paid a little extra for the window. I would have rather been in the middle of the boat than been in this room dealing with that. But at this point, pulling away from the dock, it turns out that wasn't even really that bad. And so we're sitting there, and we know we got to go to dinner soon. We've got a reservation. We're hoping our luggage gets here. And we got a knock on the door. We open the door, and there's our luggage. And so we pull them both inside, and we've got a big flip, fold-over, zip-up carry-on bag that you put your suits and your dresses in because dinner is formal. And then we've got the other suitcase, the big square one with the wheels and the handle, you know, the fancy kind that keeps all of your other stuff, your clothes, and you know you can't carry on your liquids in your carry-on unless it's in a clear bottle that's 3 ounces or less, and we're like, we're not dealing with that, we're sticking it all in our bag. We get there, we'll open up the bag, everything will be fine. So we open up our suitcase, and I flip it out, and I start pulling out my pants. I'm like, huh, my jeans are damp. Start pulling out more. Wow, all of my pants are wet. Well, you guys remember Atlanta. We talked about last week how they had these huge storms, just thunderstorms, and so everything was wet. And so apparently, they decided to throw our suitcase in a big puddle of water. And so everything was wet. And not only that, but when I started pulling out Chandra's clothes, we found out that, you know, you're going to a tropical place, you buy white clothing, nice light clothing. Well, we have these suntan lotion in, you guys know the spray kind, it's an aerosol. And she brought some dark tanning lotion because her skin isn't fair and she doesn't really burn. And we found out that wasn't true. And then we had SPF 30 for me because I'm wise and need the good stuff. And it turns out that something had punctured. Not just broken, not something just pushed it, punctured the side of our lotion. And it had vibrated through we put them all in a plastic bag and it had rubbed through it and vibrated it. And so all of Chandra's clothes kind of came out looking like my Bible came out looking because it was there too. And so that was from the surf shop. This is how my Bible looks. So you can imagine how almost all of her clothes looked for our vacation. They're sitting down in our laundry room. I don't think those stains are going to come out. And I think my Bible got a better tan than I did on the trip after that ordeal. So I figured out what happened was when they were pulling the planes away, remember they were waiting on a tug. And they said, well, we would make it on time, but we don't have a tug, so we got to sit here for someone to push us away. Well, the other thing was they were short on those little caulk blocks that go behind the wheels, those triangular blocks. Well, they didn't have the blocks, so they just stuck our suitcase under there. And then when the tug came to push the plane out, I thought I felt a bump because they forgot to remove the suitcase and push the plane over it. And I think they kind of blew some air into it and tried to puff it back up and make it look like, I mean, this thing had been abused. You would have thought they just took baseball bats to it. Everything inside was just broken. All of her makeup, the thick plastic case had just shattered. And we had all these things wrapped in clothes. So I don't know what they were doing with our suitcase. They might have been using it, you know, maybe they couldn't stop the plane, so they tied a rope to our suitcase and threw it out the back on the runway. I don't know, but our suitcase, that was the other fun part of our trip. Now, remember how the room was vibrating when we left port? Well, it turns out that when you come into port, it's about 10 times what it is when you leave port. Because they come into port, and then they stick the propellers in reverse. And when they do that, this whole thing just... I mean, it is so loud, and it's 4:30 in the morning, and I wake up, and I look over, and we got this couch next to us, and a stack of dirty suntan lotion clothes is on the back of the couch going... We couldn't keep stuff on our couch. Because every time they came into port, it would vibrate right off on the floor. It was the best room ever that you could ever want on a boat. And I'm so happy that they rent that room out to people who pay money to go on that boat. Because to think they could have had a normal room without all of the adventures. And so I'm getting up and it's 4:30. You never need an alarm in that room. I'm stuffing clothes behind the pictures, the couch. We're going to rent a drill and screw the couch down to the floor because it's going all over the room. And it was just a mess. And it was loud. And then they let out all the anchor. And then they let out all those ropes to tie us to the pier. And so you got this really heavy vibration on top of... And Chandra's looking at me, and I'm looking at Chandra, and I said, we're not getting up right now. I don't think we ever got up earlier than 10:30 just because we couldn't sleep for a couple hours every time they came into port. It was the best. Now, I'll tell you what. We were a little bit frustrated. You can imagine waiting 6 years, 2 kids, a move, another kid on the way. I'm just kidding. I can imagine what my mom's going to do when she hears that. And we get onto this boat, and we have the talk, you know, the de-stress talk. This is going to be a great vacation. And then the room starts vibrating so bad that you think the window is going to fall out, and the couch starts moving across the room, and Chandra starts kicking you in the middle of the night, standing, telling you to stop moving the bed. And I'm like, it's not me. That's just the natural motion that the boat makes for our room because we happen to be right over all the action. And now we know how a boat works. So we were a little bit frustrated, but started thinking about it later. I'm like, you know what? What if that captain who's driving the boat had decided to not do some of those things? Because our room was very uncomfortable. What if he would have said, you know what? We're going to go into port, but we're not gonna slow the engine down and put those props in reverse because it makes so much vibration. It makes so much vibration, and there's some people in those rooms back there who are going to be very uncomfortable if I do that. And when we get in there, if we get in there okay, we're not going to put the ropes out to tie the boat to the dock because you know what? Those engines, those motors are so loud, they're going to wake up our guests. And when we leave port, I don't even know if we're going to leave port because then we're going to have more vibrations and it's going to make people that much more uncomfortable. Now imagine what would have happened. I'll tell you right now, the captain wouldn't do that. If we're coming into port, there's no way the captain is going to say, okay, I'm not going to put those propellers in reverse because it causes some vibration on the boat and I don't want my passengers uncomfortable. Instead of us being woken up by some massive vibrations and some loud engines, we would have been woken up when we were hurled across the room out of our bed when the boat hit the pier, hit the dock. I mean, these docks have just thousands of yards of concrete in them, thousands. These things are humongous because these boats are huge. I think that dock would stop the boat. Not only that, but imagine the damage that would have happened to that boat if he wouldn't have done that. So there's no way that the captain would have said, you know what, I don't want to make the McCrackens uncomfortable, so I'm not going to turn those motors on. I'm not going to throw the anchor down because the engine's loud, and I'm not going to put those propellers down in low gear because it really shakes the boat. And And he doesn't do that because he's been trained. Now, I'm just imagining that if you're going to be a captain of a big boat like a cruise vessel, you probably just don't say, hey, I'm going to go on a cruise vessel and you go to 2 weeks of orientation and they put you up in the whatever that thing's called, up in the bridge. I don't think that they're going to do that. This guy, I tell you, the captain has been trained. He's got a manual up there with step-by-steps of what to do. It's just like landing a plane. You don't just land a plane and not put the landing gear down. He's got a step-by-step instruction of how to keep the boat safe, how to keep the passenger safe, and he's going to do it. He's going to do what he's been taught to do because it's the right thing to do, and he's going to do it over the comfort of some of the people on the boat. Now, that's not to say that they should have not rented those rooms out in the first place, but we got a good illustration out of it. So the captain knows that if he doesn't follow the steps that he's been given, not only is he going to hurt himself, but he's going to wreck his vessel, and he's probably going to hurt a lot of people on the boat. Now, here's where the analogy comes into play, is that we are all captains. Our vessels, our ships, are our bodies. We are all captains. We all have these vessels that we sail through life on. You know, In Philippians, I believe they describe the tongue being the rudder. So it's a good analogy. The rudder is what steers the boat. And so we are the boat, we are the ship, and we have to captain this ship. Now, as people captaining these boats, I'll tell you what, this thing right here, it is hard to navigate. It's hard to take this vessel through life. I'll be cruising along following God, and a temptation will come along. And I'll be watching this temptation. All of a sudden, my hand will start turning the rudder, and my vessel will start coming off course, and it'll start coming over here. Not only that, but there's, you know how many other boats are out there in the water? There's as many vessels in the water as there are people in the world. People steering their boats, following their desires, following temptations and things. Maybe there's people not following the manual that God has laid out on how to live a godly life. And what happens when people don't do that? What happens when you don't follow the manual on how to drive the boat? You crash the boat. And you know what? It doesn't feel very good for your boat or the people that you crash into. Sometimes you crash into people. Sometimes people crash into us. I like this analogy so well because I feel at home with the fact that, you know what? I am the captain of this vessel, and God has given me instructions on how to live. He's given me training. He's given me a relationship. He's given me a sacrifice that allows me grace to mess up when I crash my boat, that my boat doesn't sink. He's given me a wonderful partner that when you get married, you know your boats are no longer separate, but your boats are now together as one, unity. And we've got little kids in our boat. And we're going through life. And if we don't follow what God has laid out for us, we're going to crash our boat. We're going to crash into someone else. We're going to hurt ourselves, but even worse, we're going to hurt our kids. Now, that scares me the most. Now, there are some times, like if that captain would have said, I'm not going to follow that manual, your boat is just going to crash. But there's other times where we think that we can tweak it. Where we want to see, okay, the captain says, well, what if I just slow the motor down a little bit? And that'll stop some of the vibration. You're still going to hit the dock. Might not hit it as hard, but you're still going to hit the dock. And so that's another thing that I realize. I get to travel with this beautiful first mate who is just the brains of the operation. I can tell you that for sure, and she can tell you that more assuredly than I can tell you that too. To help pilot this boat, that's one of the reasons God gives us spouses and gives us mates. Fortunately, God knows how hard it is to pilot our boats, and so he gave us our manual. And the manual is this Bible. And our training is our relationship with him. And our learning curve is our grace in Jesus Christ. And I want to read 2 Peter verse 3 through 9 in chapter 1. Because sometimes I wonder if God has given me the insights to be able to navigate through this life and not follow my temptations and not crash into people. And it says here in verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. He says it right there. He's given us everything we need to be able to go through this life and stay away from our evil desires and live a godly life through our knowledge and relationship in him, by knowing him. Did you know that in the Garden of Eden, there was no Bible? How in the world were they supposed to know what to do? Their relationship with God. It's through that knowledge of knowing him that we know these things. And then we use the Bible. We can use the Bible to learn, yes, and we can also use the Bible to check what we think we're hearing from God. Sometimes the world tweaks the manual a little bit and it comes in and it sounds like truth, but it's really not. It's twisted just a little bit. It's not going to make you crash so hard, but you're still going to crash. So he's given us everything we need. And in verse 5 it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. I like those verses a lot. I find myself reading in 1 and 2 Peter a lot lately because he gives instructions for godly living. I'm finding my instructions of what to do or how to steer my boat, how to not crash into people, and how to deal what I'm supposed to do when other people who aren't following their manual crash into me or crash into my kids or my wife, because we're all on the same boat in my house. This Bible is very important. You can't go through life without learning what's in here and expect to make it through the end without a ton of hurt. Now, this knowing these things aren't going to keep other people from crashing into you. But that's the other great thing, is God gives us help when that happens. Gives us encouragement, gives us strength, tells us that the judgment is his, not ours. That when you're hurt by someone else, it's his judgment. We're to heap burning coals on their head by doing good things to them, by loving them. He says here that you need to put on all the goodness and the kindness and the brotherly kindness and self-control and knowledge and perseverance, but you need to do it on top of love. On top of love. This is not a new message, especially in the last 2 years. Maybe a new analogy. But it's one that we all need to know. This is how important it is to have this. How important it is to read this Bible. How important it is to have your relationship with God. And how important it is, above all, to claim the grace of Jesus Christ. Because you're going to mess up when you're learning how to drive your boat. And you're not done learning how to drive your boat until you die. Trust in him. Live by him. Live for him. And live by his word. And I guarantee you the waters will be a lot smoother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us your words. And your words that you tell us in 2 Peter, that these are not the words of the prophets, but that there was no word that came through a prophet that did not come from you, and that these are indeed your words, your instructions on how to love, on how to live a godly life, and how to stay away from the world's evil desires. Stay away from those pitfalls and those snares. So many times, God, I ask you to take things away from me, pain away from me that I caused by not living the godly life that you have called me to. And I thank you for your grace when you do. Help us to have that desire that need, that hunger to read your word and to live by our relationship with you and to live by what you tell us to do in your Bible. Bless us and keep us as we go this week, as we pilot our vessels, as we serve the purpose that you have placed us here to serve. Give us all the courage to take our boats away from the docks and to live by your word. In your name, amen.